left off last week, we were trying to understand the Shittas HaRambam. Rambam tells us that there's a very unique way of violating the Malachas of Zareb. Zareb is treating as the person in the Malachas. So the Rambam tells us that if you put seeds of grain or something into water, and it sits there for enough time, and it begins to sprout, in a sense, so then one would be chayev min haTorah for the Malachas of Zareb. So we found that a little bit strange, because when it comes to regular Zareah, so we usually don't have to wait until it sprouts. We have to wait until it sprouts or until it takes root, so that would take place after Shabbos. So usually by regular Zareah, Chayav right away, as soon as you put the seed into the ground. How come the Rambam says that there's Malach of Zareah when it comes to putting things into water, and somehow you have to wait until a later point in the day in order for the Malach to be violated? So that question, the Das Rambam, led us to a whole discussion about the Malach of Zareah, which began to open up our eyes about really a fundamental yisod in Uchah Shabbos, particularly as it relates to two malachas, the relationship, or perhaps lack thereof, between the malacha of Zareh and the malacha of Vishal. They are similar in the sense that I do an action, but there's a delayed result. In the case of Zareh, the delayed result is the taking root. In the case of Vishal, the delayed result is the food actually cooking. So we mentioned the machlokas last week between the Rashash and the Mechas Chinuch as to how to understand the connection between these two malachas. So the Rashash understood that the malachas are pretty similar to one another, and Mechas Chinuch said, no, they're very, very different. According to Mechas Chinuch, the malacha of Bishul is in fact not violated until the actual cooking takes place, and therefore, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, if a person yanks the food off the fire before it reaches that point of no return, the point of micromandry soil, which is a third or half cook, then one really would not be chayav. So you can actually salvage the malacha of Bishul, whereas the malacha of Zareya, the Mechas Chinuch claims you cannot salvage, you cannot save. Once you threw that seed into the ground, there's nothing you could possibly do to save you from violating that malacha. So that theoretical machlokes, the Mechas Chinuch and the Rashash, when is the moment of time when you violate the malacha of Zareya, that could potentially have a very, very real nafkamina. So that somebody asked me at the very end of the shiur last week, so thought we just start from moment, just giving practical difference, a local mindset difference, then we'll move back to understanding what the Shittas HaRambam is in light of everything we've been talking about. What would the din be in the following case? A real shot, a person sitting in the backyard, Shabbos afternoon, nice July afternoon, and they're munching on a piece of a watermelon. Now, truth to be told, whether they should be eating that watermelon on the backyard on the grass is a whole other question in Hilchos Shabbos, also related to Zareh. We're probably not going to get to that today. Maybe next week, the following week, we'll talk about that. The general issues of eating and drinking on grass may open up a whole other world in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. But for whatever reason, the guy's doing that. So he's sitting there, he's eating his watermelon, and in the process of eating his watermelon, one of the seeds falls onto the ground. And the question is, what just happened at that point? So in theory, one could argue that the malach of Zareh was just violated. That once a zera, once a seed falls into the ground, you just violated the malach of Zareh. Now, I guess in the perfect world, that should grow a watermelon plant. Now again, I don't know enough about I've not yet grown too many watermelon plants, so I'm not really sure that's going to happen. Most of the kids here are probably thinking to myself, Rabbi, there are no seeds in watermelon. You guys never even saw a seed in watermelon. But in the Free of the Gadarius, in the old, back in Europe, in the old days, so there used to be a thing called a little block of watermelon seeds. And they were a nightmare in Hilchos Shabbos for Beirah. I remember back in my days in Marsha Kolo, so every summer they had another disaster with what they served for dessert. One year it was the watermelon seeds and there were Beirah problems. Then they started with the ices and the problems with mochik and opening up the letters. Then they served the other ices without. There was a shiloh of moilid and spent every summer they couldn't get right what to serve. Finally, these chocolate chip cookies were the safest thing to serve for dessert. But back to the watermelon seeds. So if you drop some watermelon seeds into the ground, you just potentially violated the Malach of Zareah. So the question is, what should you do at that point? So should my initial reaction be to quickly grab them out of the dirt, or should I say leave whatever happened happen? So the later post can tell us that may depend on the machlokes between the Rashash and the Mechasinuch. According to
on the ground or in
the ground? Oh, okay, yes. The question is how deep. That's really a brisket that even lumps within the watermelon seed. I mean, can you really call something Zareah if it's not at least covered over by the ground? I don't know enough about watermelon seeds, how much it takes for them to grow. So what should it then be? What should my initial reaction be to this topic? So according to the Milchas Chinuch, L'chora, there's nothing to do about it. It's no matter what. If it turns out, Tapishmaya, that I violated Zareh, so I violated Zareh, what am I going to do? So I violated Zareh, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to unzareh it. There's no such thing as being unzareh it. According to Michas Chinuch, to take the seed out of the ground, that's like tantamount to if a person walked into a room by mistake, turned on a light, so it goes in and turns off the light. So what did he gain by that? So you gain nothing by picking the seed up, so you might just leave it there. But what about according to the Rosh Hashanah? According to the Rosh Hashanah, who says that Malacha Zerei is not all that different than Bishul, and therefore, just as Bishul can in a sense be undone, or can be prevented from accomplishing in the first place, and if by mistake somebody put an egg onto the fire, we would definitely tell them to pull it off. That's no question. Everybody would agree if you by mistake put an egg onto the fire, of course pull it off before it gets cooked. So according to the Rosh Hashanah, maybe it would make sense to pull that seed out. Now that gets a little bit tricky because pulling the seed out may involve another act of Chilul Shabbos on a much lower degree. It may involve a Chilul Shabbos of Tilta Muktzah because the watermelon seeds are probably Muktzah at that point because they're not really edible. You can't really do anything with it. Which maybe you can argue, maybe not. Maybe you can buy it. People like to eat the watermelon seeds. I don't know. Let's say a seed that wouldn't be. I was eating his peach and he dropped his peach pit or something onto the ground and now he's choshish that a peach tree is going to grow. So probably not going to happen either in 36 years. At this point, I think Andy's going to grow my backyard. I'm seeing what my backyard looks like. Sukkah tents don't do well for backyards. I was off the record, off the tour. No complaints, just comment. That was not a complaint to the board. Anyway, so the according to the Rosh Hashanah, so maybe it would make a lot of sense for the person to yank out the watermelon seed, because that will save him from violating the deraisa. Now it's true, in the process he may be violating the derabanan, he may be moving mukta, but the Gemara Shabbos says that's a pretty good investment, that it may be well worth your while to violate a nisa derabanan in order to save you from a nisa deraisa. But maybe one could argue that even according to the Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't really make any sense for a person to yank out the watermelon fits. I'll tell you why. What grandiose issa deraisa is the person trying to prevent himself from doing? What's the malach? The malach is Zereya. When he did the maisa of Zereya, he wasn't even aware what he was doing. It's not that he intentionally planted a watermelon pit and then decided to change things 5 minutes later. He had no idea what was going on. So that enters into a whole new category of Shabbos called Mesasek. Mesasek means that I did something, physically I did the action, but I wasn't even cognizant of what I was doing. Let's say a person walks into a room and their arm brushes against the light and the light goes on. So would you scream at them, "You're Mechal Shabbos"? It's not Mechal Shabbos. Not the mazen, not the shayge. That's not even unintentional chul shabbos. That's nothing. Said when something happens on its own without any degree of understanding what happened, that's what's called misasik. The guy's eating there, munching on his walnut, and the seed fell to the ground by mistake. It's not even his maisa. That's a misasik bialma. And Rabbi Kivegra has a tshuva where he writes the misasik is not even a maisa veira. You don't even have to tshuva for misasik. It's mamish zero. It's mamish absolutely nothing. I've told all the story in the past. The first time this Rabbi Kivegra was taught to me was I was a teenager, not that much older than some of the young men here, and I woke up on a Yom Kippur morning. It was Yom Kippur Shechalias B'Shabbos. I got up a little bit early before davening in my house in Riverdale. I'm sitting and learning for a little bit. But my foot banged against the table, and there were a bunch of Yuletzeit candles on the table, and a bunch of the candles went out. And it's such chalish sadas. I felt so bad. Here, it was Yom Kippur on Shabbos. I was starting to count up how many korban chatzos, how much longer is the davening going to get? I got to clap a few more alchets. I remember I came to shul and I told Rabbi Willie the story, like with tears in my eyes. And he put his arm around me and said, "Don't worry about it." Rabbi Kivega says it's not even a ma'aseh aveira. You don't even have to be chalish b'tshuva. I don't know what he was talking about. But in later years, I realized well, that's what he meant when I was a teenager. As a Chumash Rebbe Kivek, it's not even a very old thing. So one can argue that the fellow who dropped the seeds, not even knowing what he's doing, so even according to the Rosh Hashanah, what are you going to gain? Even if you don't pull the seeds out, you still didn't violate anything. So I would say leave well enough alone. If you intentionally try to plant a watermelon seed on Shabbos, and you're really hoping for the watermelon to grow, and then you want to be chosen with Chumash, then I would take the seeds out. But if you're just eating and the seeds drop, leave them where they're Ishma coming over shell, leave them the seeds where they are, and between you and me, they're not going to grow any watermelons anyway.
You're eating a watermelon full of seeds, it's not a secret shell, or the seeds going to fall out into the. I mean, it's mamish laden with seeds.
Okay, I don't know. We gotta hold off for the Dumbshim Miskavs and Psychmatians, because the Lichalays and Misastays, we got a whole year, we could have years and years of this discussion, so I don't know, we'll have to hold off, it's a good hour.
Why would you say you pick it up after Shabbos? Why?
Yeah, right. Right. If the guy remembered to pick up after Shabbos, right? The question is not going to be the first thing on his mind.
Right.
The best case scenario, according to Rosh Hashanah, at least take pick it up after Shabbos, if you remember, right? It's not going to become a wonder. It's not going to take root before Shabbos. That I can guarantee. Okay, so again, that was just the Shirayim, a little bit from the Nafgamina, from the Rosh Hashanah, Chas Nenuch. But we're still getting back to our main topic, namely, how do we understand Pshat and the Rabbah? How can the Rabbah tell us that you're in violation of Zereya and water, but the violation of Zereya doesn't take place until a later point? So Mechas Chinuch continues And based on what he said very interesting last week, the Chassidic told us that Zoreya is violated right away. The mice is Zoreya, the Tzadik Avra, is violated the minute that you put the seed into the ground. But if you remember from last week, we mentioned that there's also Zoreya Mitzad HaChevtza, that the Chevtza, the object, is not considered to be planted until Hashrash, until it takes root. So there's a difference in halacha between the planter and the plant. Plantee, I'm not sure what the other word is. So the planter himself, Mitzad the Gavra HaZoreya, it's called the Mice of Zoreya from the minute that you put the seed into the ground. But Mitzad the Chevtza, Mitzad the item, the object, is not considered to be yet have been planted until the later point. Now that's important for us, not so much in the Shabbos, that's been mentioned last week in terms of Kilayim, other areas of Halacha, that becomes important. But that distinction is now going to play a role in terms of the Shabbos. It says in the Cheschinuch that one can actually be in violation of Chilul Shabbos at either one of those two points. It's Chilul Shabbos both in terms of the action of planting, and as well as when it takes root. When that seed takes root, that's called an action of Chilul Shabbos. Now, 99.99% of the time, that's irrelevant, because it doesn't take root until after Shabbos is over anyway, so that has an impact on me. But in theory, if you lived in a perfect world, that you, I guess the world, I don't know, Canadian world, where you planted something at 8 o'clock in the morning and it took root at 9 o'clock in the morning, you would, in a sense, be chayv twice, says the Mechazinuch. You violated Zoreya two times. You violated Zoreya at 8 o'clock when you put the seed in, and you also violated Zoreya at 9 o'clock when the seed took root. Again, it's irrelevant. It's never, ever going to happen. The only time it will happen is in water. Says the Chaschino, water, the halakhic equivalent of taking root in water, is when it just begins, sits there for a while, starts a little bit to sprout, a little bit to open up, and the seed starts to open up a little bit. That's the halakhic equivalent of hashrasha in the ground, and that can happen even on Shabbos itself. So therefore says the Chaschino the following yourself. When you put a seed into water, the action of putting the seed into the water, can we say a chayev or not? Is that really truly a toldo of Zoreya? Argues in the Cheschinuch, from the action vantage point, it's not a toldo of Zoreya. You know why? It's so different. The action of Zoreya involves putting something into the ground. Here, I didn't put something into the ground. I put something into the water. So the Maisa HaZoreya Mitzad HaGavra is not identical. It's not close enough. The model falls short, and therefore you cannot be chayev for putting a seed into water. But when the seed sprouts, that is similar enough to Hashrasha. Why? Because the whole yisod of Hashrasha is the growing. The fact that it's taking root. The fact that it's now beginning the growing process. The beginning of the growing process, it doesn't make a difference where that growing process is occurring. Whether it's occurring in soil, whether it's occurring in water. At the end of the day, mitzad hachevtza, it's identical. And mitzad hachevtza, that is the halach equivalent of Hashrasha. And that you can be chayef for. Razzle dazzle void, says Mechaschino, when I put a seed into water at 8 o'clock in the morning, Api didn't do anything. Because my action is not close enough to the model of Zerei of the Mishkan, which lacking in that similarity of Karka. Since I'm lacking Karka, we cannot be Mechaev you for the 8 o'clock in the morning action. But for the 4 o'clock in the afternoon, sprouting of the seed, when the seed opens up, that's similar enough to the model of Hashrasha. And you can't dechayev Hashrasha. Hashrasha is an independent mechayev of Zoreya. That's a big, big break. That's a big, big chiddush for the Chassidim saying that the very essence of Hashrasha itself is a mechayev. I have a feeling I know what's bothering you. There's a big problem with the Chassidim. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know if that's it, but when are you chayev? Are you chayev at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
So you chayev, the Chassidim says that for the 8 o'clock putting into water, you're not chayev. At the
so
4 o'clock, you are
chayev.
It has to take place in Shabbos. If you did it a minute before Shel Shudas, then right, you wouldn't be chayev, right? I thought you were going to ask me a question. Where do we ever find a Shabbos that you could be chayef for something if you didn't do a lot? What's the key word? You didn't do an action. You didn't do a maisa. I'm sitting around, 8 o'clock in the morning, the action that I did at 8 o'clock in the morning, you ignored. You told me it wasn't close enough to the Malach of Zeriah. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you'd be mechayef me. That's a chil Shabbos without a maisa chil Shabbos. Heichon Shemana Dov Ezechem Me'ol Mundur. Ever hear of that? So, have to hold the whole time. We may have heard of that. We have a lot of work to do on that in the future, Shira.
That was going to sit up and answer.
Can you possibly say a loose interpretation of Ishim Shem Chitza?
Oh, Ishim Shem Chitza.
I mean, it's a little bit far away.
Yes, it's a very exact. have to have an Ish Mishra Mechitza. I just have to share this with you, only because you mentioned it. Ish Mishra, those who remember, we spoke about this also in the past, there's a whole sugya in the Gemara of Kama about when I light a fire, so is the fire considered to be my action? At what point is my action? Is it retroactively my action? A whole razzle dazzle on this. So it happens to be that in Yeshiva, just on Thursday, we were learning the sugya that Kimon Bebeis, that Ish, and we were talking a lot about Ish Mishra Mechitza. It was really, really on my mind. So yesterday at the Shabbos meal, we were talking about Ishim Shulchitz, about the Lomitz, a very Lomitz Rishayla. I shoot an hour, Mechayev here, Mechayev there. So I was trying to explain to some of the other members of my family. So Avram Zev was very excited about it, and Benyam and my cousin was very excited about it. And some of the other people in the family were trying to wrap their hands around a very deep philosophical concept about Ishim Shulchitz. So, Mechayev here, Mechayev there, I wouldn't say what's going over well, but it was a challenge to try to explain why we sit and spend 3 hours on a Thursday afternoon in Shia to figure out Ishim Shulchit to us. But it was really, really on my mind. So last night I went to the Greenspan's house, and the Sefer Sheva Rebbe's here, descendant of the Avnei Nezer, and right before I walked in just to give him a Shalom Aleichem, so one of the people comes to Kol Boker, was there, and he tells, I wouldn't have said this, but he tells the Rebbe, this is Rabbi Zulovsky, he says a shir at 6 o'clock in the morning in Dinek. So then I was stuck, and the Rebbe asked me, what do I say a shir on? So I said, I shouldn't get in Baba Kama. So he said, so what's Sugi learning? So I started to talk a little bit, and then somehow in this Gagwat Bar, we end up to Isha Mishim Chitzo. So all of a sudden, once again, Isha Mishim Chitzo, so it made a third comeback, 3 times in 24 hours, it seems to be the hot topic. So from Sakhachov to Dinek, so Isha Mishim Chitzo was very, very popular these days. Okay, good, back to that story. So, this Rambam, that the Rambam envisioned this idea of Zereya taking place in water, raised a whole other question, a whole other issue that touches on other issues in Halakha, not just the Chushab's issues. And this was an objection to this Rambam that was actually raised to the Rambam himself. Remember, I mentioned last week there was a Shaila that was written to the Rambam about this Pesach. The Rambam himself said that putting seeds into water could potentially be Chayav Nishum Zereya Mishum planting. So one of the Gedolim at the time, was a contemporary of the Rambam, sent a question to the Rambam. I don't know anything else about this particular Gadol. His name was Rabbeinu Shmuel Rosh HaYeshiva. So I know his name, I know what his title, I know what he did for a living. Not a living, whatever he did. I know he was the Rosh HaYeshiva somewhere. Where? I have no idea. This tshuva is printed in, as I mentioned last week, is in the back of the Rambam, the Frank around those who want to see it. You can see it inside, both in the original Arabic text as well as in the Hebrew translated text. It's printed in this chelik right after the end of the Rambam called the parish of the Kadmon Mimitzrayim. We don't know anything about him. We have no idea who he was. But the Kadmon Mimitzrayim, he lived in Egypt, and he was an older man. From the old days, the Kadmon. So the Kadmon Mimitzrayim, somebody, somewhere back in Egypt, back in the 1200s or so, had recorded this conversation, this give and take between the Rambam and the Rebbeinu Shmuel in Arabic, and then it was eventually translated back into Hebrew. So this Rebbeinu Shmuel, Rosh Hashiva, sent the question to the Rambam. And he said, how could you say such a thing? How could you say that Yechayim Mishim Zereya, putting something into water, the din is, it's a Ferish Mishnah, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, that if you have a flower pot that has a hole in it, it's called an Otzer Tznokov, so the Halacha says that any flower pot with a hole in the bottom is considered to be part of the ground. Somehow gets unique, it gets nourishment. Again, what that means exactly, it's hard for us to understand. The Chazal understood this way, that a flower pot with a hole in the bottom and placed on the ground, it's considered to be as its yonek, as if it's receiving nourishment from the ground. And if a person would detach something from such a flower pot, that would be like detaching something from the ground. However, if it's an otzit she'ino nachol, if it doesn't have a hole, so then the Mishnah says potter. Then the Mishnah says it would only be an issur derabbanan, because it's not considered to be ground, and in order to violate the halacha of kotzer, of harvesting, of detaching, it has to be from the ground. So that's what the Ferish Sugya in Masechet Shabbos. There's a difference between an otzit nachol in contrast to an otzit she'ino nachol. So the Rebbeinu Shmuel Rosh Hashiva posed the question to the Rambam, if Chazal say that in order to be chayef and kaitzer on Shabbos, it has to be ground, it's got to be an otzit nachol, and if it falls short, so you're not going to be chayef, it's not a derais, it's only a derabanan, how in the world can water be more chomer than a flower pot without a hole? How in the world could the Rambam say that it's melech zireya? Don't melech zireya and kaitzer go hand in hand? You hazor and bedima, brini yikterlo, they go together, you plant and then you harvest. So how could it be, how could the Rambam envision that there's Zireya in something that's not ground, that the Gemara says explicitly that there's no Kotzim in a Torah in something that's not ground? That was the question that was posed to the Rambam. So the response of the Rambam was that the two are not the same. Rambam says that just because something is not subject to Melechus Kotzer doesn't necessarily translate to mean that it's not subject to Melechus Zireya. You can have Zireya without being Chayim Mishum Kotzer. Why should that be? So the Rambam tries to give you an explanation. I didn't understand the Tukmir because I lost it in the Arabic, but I didn't understand totally. The Rambam seems to say the following itself. He says that when it comes to Kotzer, so the Malach of Kotzer is to remove something from its source of life. That's the very essence of Malach's Kotzer. So the Rambam writes that only something that's growing in the ground, in ground proper, is really considered to be getting chiyus, getting nourishment. Says that if something is growing in an otzich in a nokov, its nourishment is already shvach. It's already not considered to be getting full-fledged nourishment. Whatever nourishment it's getting from a non-perforated flower pot is somehow not considered to be enough chios, that would be a violation of kotzer. So kotzer seems to be focusing more on the chios, on the nourishment. Zereya? Zereya means causing something to grow. So the lemais, at the end of the day, you're causing it to grow. It's not growing so well, that's still considered to be a malacha. So the Rambam is a lom d'shechiluk between the malacha kleitzer that's very, very ground-oriented, very, very much nourishment-oriented, in contrast to Zareya, which is more growth-oriented, and you can have growth in water bases as well. And therefore, the Rambam has a chiddush gadol. The Rambam writes, if you would plant in a flower pot without a hole, that would be a malacha d'oraisa. Rabbi writes, if you're doing some science, experiment or something, and you plant your seeds into a flower pot, even though there's no hole in it, it's not connected, not touching anywhere near the ground, it's completely an otzet she'eno nachuk, that would be melacha d'oraisa of Zireya, even though it's not halachically grounded. That's what the Rabbi writes in this tshuva. So there was a problem with this Rambam, because the Rambam is telling us that Zireya can apply Min HaTorah even without a source of ground. That's against the Gemara. That was just in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. The Gemara talks about being Zireya of Kelayim in an Otish in a Nukh. The guy wants to plant his wheat, barley, and grapes all together in a flower pot. So the Gemara says if you do that in a non-perforated flower pot, an Otish in a Nukh, that would not be a Deraisa. Gemara, Ferish Gemara in the end in Maseches Menachos a couple of days ago in Daf Yomi. So the Acharonim Yisbekash, according to the Rambam, was entertaining the very real possibility and the reality that you can violate Malacha Zireya Min HaTorah without ground, without halachic ground. Why is that any different from Zireya's Kelayim? So the answer that the Acharonim give is, it's a Pasuk Chumash. Who knows? What's the Pasuk? What's the difference? What? Sodcha L'Sizra Kelayim. The Torah speaks about Sodeh. There, the Torah goes out of its way and says, you can't plant your field to lion. So the Torah loves that, brisky Torah. When we're dealing with Chashabbos, Chashabbos is a function of Zireya. There's an issue of Zireya in Shabbos. The Zireya means causing something to grow. It doesn't matter whether it's growing in the ground, whether it's growing in a flower pot, with a hole, without a pot, with a hole, in the water. Any growing of anything whatsoever, that's Malacha Zireya. That's called the Shem Zireya. But to be called the Zireya Basodeh, no alone. Second, then, Pasim Komish, to be called the Zireya Basodeh, Sodeh has a very, very specific halachic connotation, and it has to be halachically ground, and therefore, Otzitz Nokov is halachically ground, and Otzitz Yeh Nokov is not halachically ground. That very, very lomdish distinction between different areas of halacha is a potentially millions and millions and millions of dollars distinction in halacha. It impacts a big, big, serious economic question in Eretz Yisrael every 7 years. Namely, this model that we just said, that sometimes Zireya requires ground, and sometimes Zireya applies even outside of ground. So Shabbos is on one side of the equation, and Kelayim is on the other side of the equation. Of course, our question is, where does Shemitah fit into that? Is Shemitah closer to the model of Shabbos, or Shemitah closer to the model of Kelayim? Now we know that B'shasar Shabbos L'Hashem, we know that that Shemitah is a very Shabbos-like type of halacha to such an extent that when the Panovich Rosh Hashiva, when Rav Kahaneman arrived from Europe and Eretz Israel, so they say that during the Shemitah year, he would walk around to all the trees on Tuesday and wish them a good Shabbos. He felt that it's Shabbos L'Hashem. So you have to treat the whole year of the Shabbos for the agriculture. So we know that Shemitah has certain qualities of Shabbos, but here, maybe one could argue that it's less than Shabbos, but maybe it's closer to Kelayim, because it has the magic word also. It says, Sadcha l'sizra b'chayim l'chal l'sizmor. So it says in Pashas Bahar, it uses the word Sadcha. So if Sadeh is the dead giveaway that has to be dafka land, So maybe one could argue if one plants in an otzit she'ein no nokov, so maybe that wouldn't be a deraisa. So that lomdish shaila based on this tshuva of Rambam, the Arabic tshuva with the Rambam and the Rebbeinu Shmuel and the Sada and the Kelayim and the Shabbos and the Shmita, this became the basis and the source for a million dollar industry in Eretz Yisrael. Just a very quick, we're not really Shmita now, but it's important because it impacts on Shabbos as well. This the background of this shaila was as follows. There is a Yerushalmi that raises a question about planting in the Shnas HaShemitah. What if a person plants indoors? A person has a garden inside his house. He's got a dirt floor. I'm sure a regular dirt floor, but it's indoors. Is that considered to be a violation of Shemitah or not? So the Torah says Sadcha. So maybe one could argue that as a Rebbe Bakis, that's not a Sada. So maybe you can run, put mechitzas, put walls all about all over Israel, and then everything's good. Then you're indoors. You can do whatever you want. So the Rishalmi is not sure. Rishalmi is like the Torah here, the Sofik, they're not sure. So there is a sefer called the Sefer Pa'asa Shulchan. Pa'asa Shulchan was written by one of the Tamidim of the Vilna Gaon. One of the Tamidim of the Gura came to Eretz Yisrael. A group of Tamidim of the Gura came to Eretz Yisrael in the very, very late 1700s. The original foundation of the Ashkenazi community, the old Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. So a lot of it was made up of these Tamidim of the Gura. Some of the Tamidim of Baal Shem Tov came, Tamidim of the Gura came. That became the old Yerushalmi. When people tell you, I never understood how everybody is seventh generation Yerushalmi. I'm not sure how that happened exactly. But apparently seven generations ago, a whole group of people must have come to Yerushalayim. So all those Alta Yerushalmis, the real heart of old Yerushalmis, so many of them, the ones who are not Hasidim, are descendants from these Tamidim of the Gura. So one of the Tamidim of the Gura was the Pasa Shulchan. He came to Israel, actually he didn't go to Yerushalayim, he actually went to Tzvat, and it was unfortunately a very tragic story there. Much of his family passed away. There was apparently a terrible disease, a plague, whatever it was, and he lost most of his family in Tzvat. But when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, what does the Talmud of the Gura do when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael? He wrote a sefer, Mitzvot Lois Baretz. So it's called the Pa'asa Shulchan. So the Shulchan Aruch has a little bit about Mitzvot Lois Baretz, not all that much. So he wrote the end. He wrote the first real sefer in the modern era, so to speak, in the last 200 years, about Mitzvot Lois Baretz. That became the beginning of all the periphery of all the Svarman Zeroyim that have been printed in the last 200 years. So in the Sefer Pasa Shulchan, he quotes this Rishalmi, and he says, well, it's a Sofik in the Rishalmi, and most Rishonim hold that Shemitah Bizman is there's only the Rabbanim anyway, so Sofik Dabon Lekula, so you could be the Rebbe Bias. Again, you imagine, this is the Pasa Shulchan sitting in a plague ravaged Tzvat in 1790s, writing this Shtichot Torah. Never in his wildest dreams did he realize that 150 years later, we're going to pull this off the shelves and build greenhouses throughout Eretz Israel based on the Shtichot Torah. The Pasa Shulchan said, you can be Mekel outright and finish, it's a suffix to everyone Lekula, and everything's great. So the Chazanish did not agree with this Pesach. The Chazanish thought, again, this is beyond the scope of Shabbos right now, the Chazanish thought that was not a correct application of suffix to everyone Lekula. So if the Chazanish thought, you cannot just down build greenhouses and just plant and call it a day, that you can't do. But the Chazanish said, what you can do is as follows. If you can really, truly make it a Derabbanan, believe Shum suffix whatsoever, if you can knock the Shana down to a Derabbanan, then you can rely on the suffix in Ushami. How do you turn every deraisa into the Rabbanim and Shemitah? Very simple. Get rid of the ground, says the Chazon Ish. Instead of planting in ground, plant it in otzitz, in little flower pots. But make sure the flower pots don't have holes in them. So if you have flower pots that don't have holes in them, then they're for sure the Rabbanim, because of the Shtipul Torah with the Rambam, the Rebbeinu Shmuel, and the whole 9 yards before, that since it says Sadeh, and Sadcha makes Shemitah closer to the model of Kelayim than to the model of Shabbos, so therefore, planting in Shemitah in non-ground cannot possibly be a deraisa. It's only a derabbanan at worst. And the Gabi derabbanans, we can rely on the Safek of the Rishalmi. So the Chazon Ish took the plan of the Pasa Shulchan from 120 years before and reformulated it a little bit. The Pasa Shulchan was Mekel Lagamre. The Chazon Ish said that far we can go, but if we knock it down to the derabbanan, that we can do. And it's that Pasa Shulchan / Chazon Ish, built on everything we were talking about, that became the basis for all the greenhouses in Eretz Yisrael. Everything that's been planted in Eretz Yisrael in greenhouses, the whole idea of planting stuff in greenhouses was started during the Shnas HaShemitah a couple of cycles ago, and it was built, all the greenhouses, millions and millions, all those greenhouses that were originally made in Aza, in Gush Katif, that Nebuch were dismantled, were destroyed by the Arabs. So those greenhouses were all built according to these provisions, these specifications of the Chazon Ish's reformulation of the Pasa Shulchan based on the sugya that we're learning right now. And I saw these greenhouses. many times, a lot of times, these greenhouses, they're all built invoking a very modern, high-tech, million-dollar industry of basically the ABCs of Artishen and Achuf. Instead of having some little broken-down, half-baked flower pot, you have these billion-dollar, quote-unquote, flower pots that are built in such a way, and they're on, and they're inside and built these greenhouses, and the whole thing is mutter based on this idea. Just as an aside, this is all assuming that that's called a Zeriah B'Bayis. If you hold that a greenhouse is not a Zeriah B'Bayis, then all bets are off, the whole thing is wrong. So Rabbi Yashiv was not even sure that that premise was correct. So Rabbi Yashiv was concerned that the whole svar about Zeriah B'Bayis being mutter may be an extension of the principle of Shaloi Kederech Zeriah. It's considered to be such an abnormal way. Now this is something that we're going to hopefully come back to on Shabbos very, very often. There are a lot of things in Chazal that were declared to be abnormal, and therefore they're not deraisas, but things change. Just to give you a jump ahead in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, the Gemara says that cooking in the sun, what mishugana would ever cook something in the sun? You'd have to be crazy to cook something in the sun. So therefore it's not a deraisa. Crazy? Ever see solar heating? I spent my entire 2.5 years in Caribbean taking showers based on, well, not taking showers, based on if it was a cloudy day, anyone in Caribbean knows. No hot water for a week if there's no sun. So solar heating is a normal thing. So maybe you have to reevaluate and say maybe solar heating becomes a deraisa as man as that. So that's a very, very tricky question. That's what the post can discuss with microwaves. Microwaves are the halakhic equivalent for solar heating because it's cooking without a flame. It's cooking with rays. So maybe respondents, everything became deraisa. That's what Rav Moshe says. So this is very, very tricky. Anytime you enter into this realm of, well, something's okay because it's not normal, so that becomes very, very problematic, this man is there. That's where Yasha threw a curveball at the whole industry. He said, I'm not so sure the whole industry is based on a correct premise. But again, others would disagree with Yasha. We'll sanction those greenhouses. So this whole discussion, the whole situation of planting and things that are not connected to the ground proper, all have that, no pun intended, this was not a pun, all of their roots in the Shabbos. It's all based on the beginning of the Sugya of the Shabbos. Just as another aside to before we end the Shia, this Shaila of just how serious we view things that are growing outside of soil or in water or in flower pots, this impacts in other areas of Allah also, not just Kilayim, not just Shumas and Ma'isis, not just Shemitah, not just Shabbos. This is a real impact in Hilchos Brachos. We got to come back to Tuesday night, you hear all of that, but in Hilchos Brachos also one could raise a question. Can you say with a straight face, Borek Pri Ha'adamah, on something that's growing in water? Can you say in a straight face, Borek Pri Ha'adamah, on something that's growing in a greenhouse? So if you take a look at a lot of the tomatoes that you're eating, a lot of the other vegetables that you're eating, so a lot of them are hydroponics, a lot of them are grown in greenhouses. But you buy the Hamish salad bag, so it depends which fridge brands you're buying. The Bodek doesn't use the greenhouses, but the Positive and the others do use the greenhouses. So then you have a whole, they don't use the greenhouse because of brachas, because of other considerations. So if you take this approach that only things that grow in ground proper are considered to be Barpri Adama, that can change your entire brachas approach to salads and to vegetables with manazet. So there are many different opinions about this. I think I gave a Shabbos a little drush about this quite some time ago about maror, about the romaine lettuce. Most of us use romaine lettuce that may not even grow in the ground. They grow in greenhouses. So, yeah, we usually assume things that grow in greenhouses, we usually assume the brachas the Barpri Adama. Things that grow in water are not so simple, not so pushy. So maybe this Rambam would have some impact on this, but again, this goes way, way beyond the scope of Shabbos. We have to wait, hopefully, until we get to Chazbrachas, then we'll come back to this. But in terms of Asugya, so we've used this idea of Zeriah B'Mayim almost as a little bit of a beginning, a little bit of just to acquaint ourselves with some of the basic principles in terms of Malacha Zereya. As we said last week, we can always try to highlight how Shabbos impacts in other areas of Malacha as well. The definition of Zereya, the idea of doing a Malacha that is a delayed action, the interrelationship between Malacha Zereya, Malacha Bishul, so a lot of these sugyas start to come together. So Baruch Hashem, that Rambam, but not for the Rambam, in the case of putting the seas into the water, so we don't know what to talk about for the last 2 weeks. Hopefully, so next week, we'll continue a little bit more on this of Zereya, some other potential real-life issues that come up from Zereya, and hopefully we'll move on.
If everyone can help, just take up for you. Sorry, I'm going to quote with